Welcome to the March 2024 edition of the Arizona Highways Podcast. We're excited to have you listening with Arizona Highways editor Robert Steve. I'm Steve Goldstein. If you didn't hear our previous podcast episodes, I'd encourage you to go to Spotify and Apple Podcasts and search Arizona Highways. We've had great conversations about bats in the Grand Canyon and an incredible journey into Glen Canyon. This episode features one of Arizona's favorite spring topics, wildflowers. In a few minutes, Robert and I will talk with photographer Claire Curran. We begin, though, with Robert's editor's letter from the March issue of Arizona Highways Magazine, which I always love. So, Robert, here's just a first broad question for you. With all the things you've seen in Arizona, how does our spring wildflower season fit in with all things nature here?
It's way up on the list. I mean, because it is so unique, right? I mean, other places have autumn leaves. I mean, you can go to Vermont and, you know, have a great old time, right? You know, or anywhere, Wisconsin and other places, you know, but there's something about seeing something delicate burst through such a harsh environment. You know, when you hold a Mexican gold poppy in your hand, those petals are just like silk. They're just so delicate. And to think that they burst through this otherwise, you know, what we all think of as this rugged landscape. And it is, you know, it's rocks and dirt and cactus and harsh. And so it's unique. I mean, obviously other part, you know, California has a wonderful, you know, spring bloom as well. But I mean, for us in Arizona, it's one of the highlights of the year for sure.
I've been in Arizona most of my life, primarily the desert areas though. So when I think of the spring, I think of spring training baseball, the smell of orange blossoms, and then wildflower season. I'm not asking you to rank them, but wildflower season for you in the spring, like near the top, the top?
Yeah, top three for sure. And yeah. I mean, I actually love autumn as well because, you know, the fact that it goes on for months. You know, you start up on the North Rim and you work your way down, you know, in January down in the riparian areas. But, you know, the wildflowers season is something that I personally, and obviously so many others, look forward to because it's just this, you know, the winter's kind of phasing out and you get to be outside and throw on your shorts and walk and see all this spectacular color.
Well, I can ask you about the super bloom, which I will, but you are very humble sometimes about your writing skills. And let me just give our listeners a chance if they haven't read this column. Like a supernova, a super bloom is a rare and mighty explosion, one that comes around every 10 years or so and covers the landscape with an array of color as if Monet had gone on a bender. That is from Robert Steve. So, super bloom. Talk more about that.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, everything has to line up. And it starts actually in the summer before. I mean, when the seeds start to germinate. And then you have to have this exact amount of water, you know, every so many weeks and so many months. And it all has to line up perfectly. And you know, if you're the odds aren't good, frankly. I mean, it's especially, you know, with things changing in the environment. And so, you know, but they did line up perfectly for spring a year ago. And we had this incredible super bloom. And, you know, you'll see there's a photo in the issue by Claire Curran, who we're going to talk to, that is, it doesn't look real. It actually looks like something Monet might have painted. By the way, I haven't had visions of Monet going on a bender, but my guess is he probably would have had a good time doing it.
I think that's probably true. So we know that this season we're not going to have the super bloom. We haven't experienced it, but that doesn't mean that it's not really, really good also.
Absolutely. And that's, I think, a very important point. We always have wildflowers. It's just, you know, it's about finding them and knowing where to go. And there are some usual suspects. You know, Picacho Peak always has really great flowers. You can go out to the Superstitions. If you're intrepid, you can go to places like Agua Prieta and head over toward Globe, and you will always find wildflowers. It's just, you know, they don't necessarily have the word super in front of the bloom, but there's always a bloom.
You found a great way to get history in, as you always do in your column, and that is Raymond Carlson, one of your predecessors as editor of the magazine. As spring enters upon the scene, we can woo her in all her moods, merry or melancholy, across the broad, rich land. We can play truant from care and raise our eyes to the far horizons and the tantalizing vistas of earth and sky wrapped in spring's flossiest lace.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like every time I use a quote from Raymond Carlson, I'm just shooting myself in the foot. You know, it's like, you just don't set yourself up. You know, you don't want his words on the same page as your words, but they are so good. And he always got to the heart of the matter. And, you know, he was a remarkable writer and, you know, and was somebody who traveled around a lot and got to see a lot. And he covered all the seasons with his words.
I want to close our segment with this, because you talk about it's always go, go, go. And I wonder about that when you're someone who has loved nature for as long as you have. And I asked you about this, even though you didn't grow up here, you're always an outdoors person mm-hmm. and always loved it. So have you found that the more you experience, the more you're willing to take a breath and take a look, or you're still just like, what's the next thing?
Yeah, you know, I think it's something I have to force myself to do. I have to, because there's always, I'm in a deadline business, you know, and there's always something lurking every single day. And, but it is important. And I'm fortunate that, you know, my, and I'm putting this in air quotes as I'm speaking, my job, the definition allows me to go out on a Wednesday and hike, you know, in the Galliero Mountains or wherever it might be. And I do take advantage of that. And it's, you know, I'm quote working, but I'm also drinking in all of the splendor around me and appreciating Arizona for its tremendous, you know, diversity in terms of biodiversity. It's just, it is a remarkable state that our mission, I always talk about, is to dispel the stereotypes. And I think we do that pretty well in our March issue.
That's Robert Steeve, editor of Arizona Highways Magazine. I'm Steve Goldstein. Coming up, photographer Claire Curran talks about wildflowers and a lot of other things. This is the Arizona Highways Podcast. Thank you for listening to the Arizona Highways Podcast. With Arizona Highways editor Robert Steeve, I'm Steve Goldstein. Our guest on this edition of the podcast is photographer Claire Curran, whose images grace the front and back cover of the March edition of Arizona Highways. Claire, welcome to the Arizona Highways Podcast.
Well, thank you very much, Steve and Robert.
I'm curious, as someone who's not a native Arizonan, I understand you don't live here. What drew you to Arizona's wildflower season as a photographer? Because I know you've taken other photos, but what about the wildflowers really struck you?
Well, I've always chased wildflowers. I've been up in Utah and Colorado a lot for wildflowers. And, you know, you pass through Arizona, and if you know what to look for, which is mainly sand dunes, you can find a lot of wildflowers in a good season. That's how I end up in Arizona. California, of course, is where I live, and we have some fantastic wildflower seasons here.
We were talking before we started hitting the record button here about the fact that you had both the front and back covers of the March issue of Arizona Highways. The front cover image is not one of the usual suspects. Typically, you know, we see the Superstition Mountains or Picacho Peak, or as you say, a sand dune in Agua Prieta or something. What drew you to the Black Mountains for this photograph?
Well, I've always been shooting out in the Oatman area. They have some incredible volcanic plugs, I think they call them out there. Mm-hmm. And so you get a really wild backdrop, tons of cholla, and there's always poppies blooming out there. And in a good year, like last year, it was pretty phenomenal. But there's also a tremendous amount of brittle bush. And that's actually the backside of, one of the cones out there that I like to photograph. And I don't think I've ever seen that much brittle bush out there before. So it was pretty exciting to be out there shooting with all that brittle bush.
For folks who haven't seen the March issue yet, we hope they pick it up, obviously, but they haven't seen the Instagram page that Robert maintains for the magazine as well. Can you describe brittle bush for those who are just sort of listening to us and haven't actually seen it?
Well, they can be either a small bush or a large bush, and they're yellow flowers. They look a little bit like daisies, and typically a brittle bush is just covered with yellow flowers, and they last. What's so great about brittle bush, they can start blooming early and they will last for, you know, at least 3 weeks, if not a month. And they tend to, I don't know, keep on blooming. You can be in one area and the brittle bush will be great, and then go to another area and the brittle bush are coming on. So you can kind of follow brittle bush for quite a long time in both. Well, they mainly grow in Arizona and in California. I haven't seen them that much up in Utah and Colorado, but they're great because they grow in profusion. They grow out of rocks. They can grow out of sand. And so you can really get a lot of brittle bush if you're fortunate with a really good bloom.
You know, just in terms of logistics, you know, I always wonder about photographers being out there. And I know that a lot of landscape photographers and wildflower photographers tend to live in their campers and what have you. Do you, when you're out in a certain season, whether it's wildflowers or the fall leaves in October, do you feel like you're racing from one place to the next to constantly try to get the great shot?
Well, I have to tell you, if somebody calls me and says, oh, the wildflowers are great in this area, or the leaves are really going off in some other area during fall, you kind of get very anxious and stressed out about it. But if I'm in a place where it's really spectacular, then I just keep shooting there, especially if some kind of weather comes in, you know, clouds or rain or just something that makes it a lot more interesting. So yeah, I usually stick around. If it's good, then I'll just stay there.
We've talked a little bit about color, but I want to ask you even more about that because yes, the average person like me can look at a beautiful photograph and say, boy, the color really popped here or there or something. But when you're looking for wildflowers specifically and you're setting them against a particular background, or you're trying to find something that is going to pop in that special way, how important is color? Is it even more important when photographing wildfires than or wildflowers rather than any other thing in nature, or is it fairly similar?
Well, it's very similar to fall color. And I certainly make an effort to do complementary colors or maybe even colors that really oppose one another, because the more interesting versions of color you can do, I think a viewer's eye is going to be far more attracted to the image. But with wildflowers, it's really gets to be difficult. Of course, you know, if you're there, most wildflowers tend to be yellow. And so you always have that blue sky that you can pair the yellow flowers with. But, you know, if you have a lot of red or magenta flowers going on, you really do look hard to see how you can either really make that pop or in some way just showcase the colors that are going on throughout wherever you're photographing.
And you do it as well as anybody, for sure. We're you know, we're blessed to have readers in more than 100 countries around the world in all 50 states, and we still have a lot of subscribers who send us letters, and I want to read you a letter about some of your photographs. This is a letter from a woman in Tucson. And she said, I finally took the time to immerse myself in your special subscribers issue, which is the issue we put out at the end of the year. It's what we call the 13th issue. I was in utter awe as I turned each page. Claire Curran's photos, the setting sun on the sand dunes of the Havasu Wilderness, and her photo of the shallow pools at Coyote Buttes mirroring the sunrise made, quote, tears of wonder well up in my eyes. Thank you all for uplifting my drooping soul.
Wow.
So first of all, you hear that and it's not unique, frankly. I mean, we get a lot of letters about your photography in particular. I mean, we get letters about Jack Dykinga and some others too, but there's something about your photography that resonates. And, you know, I don't know if you're like the Colonel and you have some secret recipe that you're using, and maybe you already talked about it in terms of complementary colors, but I mean, is there something you're doing consciously to try to distinguish your work from all the other great photographers in the magazine?
Well, first of all, I'm really humbled by those really nice compliments. That thank you so much for that. Well, you know, I always think of myself as kind of a weirdo when it comes to photography, because I just have a sixth sense about things, about weather in particular. And I really try to follow the weather, and I'm very attracted to reflections and water in general, especially if it's calm water.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been with other photographers and I say, I just have the feeling there's going to be a phenomenal sunset someplace. And they often say to me, oh, you know, you're weird or whatever. But then I go to this place and I get an incredible sunrise or sunset. And that just happens a lot with me. I started very early on shooting 4x5. And because it's much more expensive in the film days to shoot 4x5, you really have to hone your eye as to what you really believe will make a good photograph. And I think that was something that made a big difference in how I photograph. And now with digital, that training has really helped a lot. So I don't waste a lot of time photographing things that I think just don't, you know, they won't really make an image, or it doesn't translate to what I think it should translate. So if somebody looks at it, it's not going to be that interesting of a photograph. But I highly recommend that people just go out and look at things and keep on looking, because eventually your eye or your mind will find the real image there. And sometimes it takes a while. You have to shoot the particular subject a few different ways. But if you keep working at that, eventually you will be able to go into a scene and almost immediately see the photograph there, or not see a photograph.
Well, Claire, I'm afraid of mixing my metaphors, because then that begs the question for me about whether you feel like there's more nature and nurture, because certainly people can work at it. But when you talk about just sort of having a sixth sense, do you feel as close to the subjects of your photographs as anyone could possibly do that? Because when you're lifting people's drooping souls, that must mean you're making a connection with what you're photographing as well. But do you feel that actively as you're doing it?
Oh, yeah. I was in Pinto Creek Canyon last year, and usually there's water running there, and there was nothing but water pools. And they were, and the mud was phenomenal. It was so gorgeous. And I mean, I probably was dancing down this the canyon with glee, because it was one of the most spectacular things I've seen in Arizona. It reminded me of places in Utah, where you have these incredible creeks with narrow canyon walls and beautiful reflections of the canyon walls and flowers and things like that. But yeah, in 2019, I was out at the Havasu Wildlife Refuge, and it had to be the most spectacular wildflower scene I have ever seen in my life. It went on for miles and miles and miles, covering dunes. It was incredible. And there was no one else out there. I spent 11 days shooting and just saw a couple of hikers. And that was just a remarkable experience. And when I get that lucky, I am so incredibly grateful. And I take huge advantage of it. I just work a scene or an area to death, because I don't think you'll ever see something what I saw in 2019. I don't think I'll ever see that again in my lifetime. So yeah, these moments are really special to me. And you know, when I'm feeling down, I actually will think about something like what I saw out in Havasu or Pinto or the gorgeous maple color in Arizona. And it really is uplifting to me. I always tell people about the maples in Arizona, and people think I'm lying about it. But it's phenomenal. I mean, to see the enormous amount of maples in Arizona, what colors they turn. So I think Arizona is a special state, especially when you think wildflowers kind of do this in Arizona. They'll start at the lower elevations and then work gradually up, you know, well into summertime, like up in the White Mountains. Incredible scenes of wildflowers up there. And fall color does the same thing. It starts, you know, with the San Francisco peaks in late September, early October, and you can go all the way through December, even early January, getting fall color in the lower deserts. So it's an unusual state that way.
Yeah, it's a beautiful state that, you know, has kind of year-round beauty. Could you just talk a little bit about logistics without giving away too many secrets? I mean, you mentioned you're out on an 11-day trip, for example. Are you sleeping in a camper? Are you staying in hotels? You know, for our listeners who sort of dream about being a landscape photographer, I mean, you know, what does your typical day look like?
Well, I do have a pop-up camper on the back of a Toyota Tacoma, and I have probably destroyed both of them by being on the awful roads that I go on. And but I live in my camper. I like to be out 2 to 3 weeks at a time, and a lot of times I don't take a shower for quite a number of weeks because it's kind of hard sometimes to find showers in places, especially if I'm really way out someplace. There's no way you can take a shower. But I'm lucky I have running water in the camper, and of course burners, you know, three burner stove, big bed. And you know, I can easily live in it. It's fine with me. But I always start super early in the morning, a good hour or more before sunrise. And during the summertime, you can imagine that is quite tiring because you're up till like 10 o'clock at night and maybe shooting night skies later on. And then you're up sometimes at 3:30 in the morning, depending on how far you have to hike. And, you know, I'm usually alone. I rarely travel with people. So I'm a little bit cautious about getting into trouble because unfortunately I have gotten into trouble. Getting lost at night, not being able to find my way back because it wasn't a very good trail. And also, you have to watch out for rattlesnakes, especially during wildflower season.
Yes.
They've just come out and they're a little angry, so they can be kind of vicious. But you know, I love being out and alone. I love being in my camper, and I just love scouting, looking for new places, new things to photograph. You know, lucky enough once in a while to see some animals. That's fun to watch.
You mentioned maples early on, and when we put out a stock call for autumn leaves, you know, we get a lot of aspens, as you might expect, and cottonwoods. We don't get as many maples, but we seem to have, you know, a beautiful selection every year from you. I mean, is that a tree you're specifically going after?
Oh, yes. I love them. I mean, they are so gorgeous. And in a good year, they can be anywhere from a light yellow to deep red magenta. There have even been salmon colored maples. And it's really incredible what you can find out in Arizona. I've shot maples in Colorado, but Arizona is definitely a lot better. And in Arizona, you just have this rainbow of colors.
I was talking to Steve earlier this week about you and your experience, and I said I'm pretty sure Claire has seen more of Arizona than about 95% of Arizonans. So, hats off to you, Claire.
Well, thank you. But you know, you Arizona Highways has some incredible photographers like Joel Hazelton, who goes absolutely everywhere. I mean, I'm in awe of where he goes and the kinds of things that he shoots. He's a really great photographer. So
Yeah,
there.
you bring up an interesting point. You know, a lot of this new generation of photographers, they are thrown on backpacks and they're taking advantage of electronics with GPS and things. So, you know, they're finding their ways to places we've never actually seen before, which is wonderful because it keeps the magazine fresh and interesting.
Yeah, oh yeah, I really love it when I see a totally new place. I get completely jealous.
That's right. Yeah. Claire, that's a good place for us to stop. That is photographer Claire Curran, whose images grace the front and back cover of the March edition of Arizona Highways. And of course, you'll see her lots of other times helping drooping souls as well. Claire, thanks so much. Really a pleasure to have you on the Arizona Highways podcast.
Well, thank you very much, Steve and Robert. It was really nice talking with you.
Thank you, Claire.
All right, Robert. So Claire was obviously very interesting, but I have to ask you first, when you read the letter to her, and you mentioned you get a lot of letters like that commenting on things, are they ever as heartfelt and impactful as that one was? You really picked a winner there.
Well, you know, that one might have been on the higher end, but I will say that, you know, and I've probably said this to you 1,000 times over the years. I mean, we are blessed to have such remarkable subscribers around the world. These are people who are passionate about the magazine. So, and they can be passionate the other way too. If, you know, if we use the word, the plural of cactus as cactuses instead of cacti, people will, you know, point out their displeasure with that kind of thing. But I will say that most of our readers who take the time to write are usually a little bit passionate, for sure.
Yeah. So we had a little bit of fun with the idea that Claire goes out there and doesn't shower for a couple of weeks and whatnot. But, you know, what does that illustrate about her ability and her desire and other photographers who work for Highways and do work for you, that they just really want to go where the best photos are going to be?
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, there was a time when there were a handful of photographers out there. And, you know, she mentioned Joel Hazelton, who really stands out because he's going places others haven't. And Claire is doing the same thing in her own kind of way. She's finding places, you know, that are within her wheelhouse, and she works it, you know, and that's what you really have to do. And obviously, you know, incredible talent. You know, she talked about, you know, shooting 4x5s when it was expensive and you couldn't just go out there and fire away with your, you know, trigger button, and then you have to think it through. And so she's using that mentality as she approaches things. But she works hard and it shows, and, you know, she might work harder than most. She kind of reminds me of a woman I never met, Esther Henderson, who is this, you know, legendary female photographer, you know, working in what was then extremely so much a man's world. And the first photos we ever bought in the magazine were from Esther. And, you know, there's just these two women that just go out and go after it. And it's really impressive.
You know, I'd love to have you pull back the curtain when we have our conversation. So one of these cases, obviously you have photo editors and people who are in charge of that, but you make the final call. How many photos, for example, would a Claire Curran send in, and you ultimately end up with a couple in the magazine plus the cover and the back cover?
Well, you know, that's a good question. And again, certain photographers sort of specialize in certain subjects and certain areas. But, you know, Claire might send us 100 images for wildflowers, maybe more. And same with autumn leaves, or, you know, for asking about, you know, lakes in the White Mountains or whatever it might be. We literally go through hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of photos each month. And it's a tough job. I mean, you know, you talk about an embarrassment of riches, and it really is. And for us to try to narrow that down, and Jeff Kidd, our photo editor, does a lot of the work before I ever get there or any of my staff gets there. I mean, he's weeding them out. Ultimately, yeah, we only have room for a few photos, and the best definitely rise to the top.
So finally, what stood out about the conversation with Claire? You've talked to her before, and I haven't. And the idea of someone who travels on her own like that, she seemed very willing to talk to us and very comfortable, which in some ways it sounds like the way she goes about her business is a little bit hermit-like.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, I kind of had that impression of her because, you know, Claire doesn't have a website. She doesn't do social media. I think she's all business. I think, and you asked a great question about, you know, communing with nature and, you know, loving your subject. And I, that's definitely the impression you get by looking at her photography, but, you know, listening to her talk, I mean, she's kind of what I envisioned her to be. And I love that about her. She's, you know, not in competition. She doesn't need pats on the back. She just wants to make great photographs, and boy, is she ever doing that.
That'll close this March edition of the Arizona Highways podcast. With Arizona Highways editor Robert Steve, I'm Steve Goldstein. Music for this podcast provided by Epidemic Sound. Please subscribe, rate, and review the Arizona Highways podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, also Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening to Arizona Highways.